And welcome into your Monday community segment. Bill Priestley here with you alongside Mike Bowden, the still host of The Stockout. Mike, how you doing?
Doing well. How are you?
Doing well. Good for you. All right. So we've got a very interesting subject here for you for The Stockout today, talking about activist investor situation at Norfolk Southern and what shippers can really learn from this situation. What can you tell us?
Yeah, so I thought this was the biggest news this week. Was there was a report that Ancora Holdings, so a big activist fund, has about $1 billion position in Norfolk Southern. This was disclosed, or at least reported, in the Wall Street Journal. Stock had a nice bounce on Thursday. It was up 9%. So this Ancora, you know, a company that most transportation investors are familiar with, they have a position in C.H. Robinson, a position in Forward Air, and then railroad. Investors, analysts, very familiar with the activist shareholder playbook of acquiring shares of companies that have underperformed, you know, with an operating ratio that's worse than the peer group, trying to install a new CEO. It seems to be the case, you know, this time where Ancora wants the new CEO to replace Alan Shaw, the current CEO who went through all the turmoil with dealing with the East Palestine fallout, you know, last week. So It's been good for the shares, and you know, John Kingston did a nice job of writing up the earnings report the other day, which was a difficult quarter. You know, it really hit, you know, described what investors were thinking and how they were upset about the operating ratio being worse and not having a path to getting to the peer group and the operating ratio. But you know, the stock out really comes at it from the angle of the shipper, the CPG or retail shipper. And if I'm a CPG or retail shipper, I might see Norfolk Southern stock rising, you know, last week. I would be concerned about service levels, because I think the stock, you know, trying to get the stock price in order, kind of get the operating ratio in order, really at odds with service levels. I mean, if you want strong service levels, you really want to have resources that are more than the bare bones. Maybe you wouldn't be so quick to furlough workers. And a lot of those service levels have really improved in recent years. I mean, there's a lot of CPG companies we work with. There's one we work with really closely. And you go back a couple of years ago, they were pulling out containers from Norfolk Southern terminals and moving them on the highway because the service was so bad. But lately, that same CPG shipper is using the intermodal more often. And, you know, asked them why, and they said it was because just the service levels had improved to satisfactory level, that they're able to use intermodal more. So if I'm a shipper, you know, I'm concerned about this, just because is this going to lead, you know, whether the current management team can right the ship or a new management team comes in and is installed. I think either way, it's, you know, as our friend Tony Hatch describes it, the cult of the OR is alive and well, unfortunately, if you're the shipper.
So looking at this, is there a distinct problem here, or is there really only a problem depending on what perspective you're looking at it?
Yeah, so it's depending on what perspective you're looking at. I mean, their railroads have to serve all these different constituents. I mean, they're owned by shareholders. They have to serve the employees are important constituents. The shippers are important constituents. The communities are. They have to deal with the government. So all those things, you know, have their own objectives, but really the railroad's primary objective has been to serve shareholders and add shareholder value. And, you know, it's really easy to see why, you know, based on how certain, how railroads have performed over the last, let's say, you know, 15 years and how successful some of the activist situations have been, in particular the CP one, where, you know, go back a number of years, they installed Hunter Harrison, that drove just tremendous value for shareholders.
So when you look at this over the course of the long term, obviously you have some investor unrest there, obviously calling for change in leadership as well. As you look forward, what do you see a resolution here that's going to make everybody happy, or is this going to be some sort of a conflict that's going to continue to run until perhaps the present leadership is removed and new leadership is installed?
Yeah, I think it's hard to make everyone happy. that might be impossible. But, you know, I think that the shareholders tend to like executives that, you know, really take a tight cost control, that are really, you know, focused on efficiency. It's part of why the investors, you know, really like Jim Vena, who's the CEO of Union Pacific. You know, he had a couple different tenures at Union Pacific, and the stock always moved positively when those announcements were made. So, you know, it does seem likely that there could be a management, you know, change, you know, in place. I mean, Alan Shaw has been at the company for a long time. I think it's since 1994, and I'm sure last year took years off of his life dealing with the East Palestine fallout, which I think he handled about as well as you could have handled a difficult situation there.
So going back to you're talking about the coming at this from the stock out perspective and the CPG sipper perspective there as well. Looking at it from that perspective, you get a sense that perhaps as you see it, where does this go in terms of how shippers look at the situation? You mentioned customer service. You and I, of course, mutual friend in Tony Hatch, looking at railroad as trying to take some of the market share back from trucking that they've lost perhaps in previous years, but looking at customer service, what are the main concerns right in within that shippers should be aware of as this change or no change occurs?
Yeah, so the service level is always important. I mean, it's really a big deal for intermodal. And so if I'm a shipper, you know, I'm going to want to talk to the railroads frequently. Like some of the big CPG companies, we'll talk to them every railroad they use every single week. Some of the smaller companies maybe don't talk to them as frequently. But you know, I would want to know if I'm a shipper what the transit times are. You know, is there any sense that those are deteriorating from the previous week? And if you know if they are, you know, I want to know why. Is there a snowstorm in Chicago? Or something, and then how does that compare with truckload? Is intermodal consistently delivering sort of truckload plus a day, which would be if they could do that consistently, that's pretty acceptable service. If it's kind of erratic and sometimes it's truckload plus a day, sometimes it's truckload plus 3 days, that's bad service and probably one that CPG company can't rely on to get the products to the retailer in time. So I'm looking at all of those. There is, you know, more data now available from the Surface Transportation Board than was available in the past. But still we try to augment that by speaking with the railroads directly. And the other constituency that, you know, could be impacted by this are the domestic intermodal carriers. So J.B. Hunt and Hub Group on Thursday, you know, the first day this was announced, their stocks were each down 2%. So they rely on intermodal for Norfolk Southern on the eastern part of the country to deliver good service, so it is competitive with the highway. And I don't know that slight decline in those companies was related to this. It could have also been you know, C.H. Robinson in sympathy with C.H. Robinson, which was down really a lot on Thursday. C.H. Robinson was down 12%, so it could have been read-throughs for that. But you know, I think if I'm a shipper, I'm relying on those domestic intermodal companies to make sure that the service is still strong. So I haven't seen any deterioration in intermodal service levels yet, aside from that one really severe week of winter weather we had in January, but you really have to be on top of that.
Let's move on. You mentioned data. We've got about a couple minutes left here. So I want to get to the second point that you bring up in the newsletter, talking about value retailers hoping to get out of data. Obviously, there's a lot out there, but what are they really looking for at this point?
So I think Walmart's really done an interesting thing there with segmenting the data that's available for its suppliers. And so the retailers have carved out their data offering as this new higher margin, fast growth revenue segment. And with their suppliers, there's a portion of the data that they're willing to give for free so that the supplier knows how it's doing and its channel, how fast things are moving, all of those things. And then if they're willing to pay a premium for Walmart's, you know, stronger level of data, they can really get granular and know exactly, you know, what's happening, and then leverage also the data that some of the customers are opting in to share. So some are opting in to describe the shopping patterns to get the why behind all of the data. So there's a lot there in terms of collaboration between retailer and supplier. And there's also a lot with AI, leveraging AI to use additional factors to better predict inventory levels. So, you know, maybe you can, you know, predict inventory levels, you know, better and really have those right sized.
Going to be a very interesting way that technology has impacted us there as well. Mike, you've got the shows coming up here. What can we look forward to as well as the newsletter?
Yeah, so all of those things and, you know, some of the topics I want to cover sort of this year is this sort of concept of pandemic era trends, or, you know, is this sort of supply chain resilience or those sort of buzzwords that are going away? Are we going back to sort of the just in time inventory level, sort of how, another topic is how shippers should be positioning themselves against a potential turn in the freight market. Some are expecting a, significant turn in the freight market later this year where there could be some tightening. And then some of the, other topics, the warehousing capacity, I get asked a lot of questions about that. I get asked a lot of questions about drayage. So I want to cover, those things. And then on the retail side, this Kroger Albertsons transaction, will continue to follow that. And on the CPG side, this question of our ultra processed foods really as bad for you as you think they are. Those are all topics that I think are interesting that I can cover on Stock Up.
Yep. You've got that episode, but go ahead. Yeah. We've got that coming up later at 10 o'clock. And of course the newsletter out there as well. Mike, thanks so much for joining us.
Okay. Thank you.